You're listening to the Marketplace Flash Briefing. I'm Kai Ryssdal. It's Friday, and we're taking a look back at the week. You could say, I suppose, that this was a politics-heavy week in the news, with COVID having hit the president and the January 6 hearings last night and the Steve Bannon conviction today. We, though, are not going to say that, which cannot possibly come as a surprise because, as we all know, the economy waits for no one. So, it is with the five economic days gone by that we will begin. Gina Smilex at the New York Times, Catherine Rempels at the Washington Post. Hey, you two.
Hey, Kai. Hey, Kai.
So, Catherine, I want to start with you, and I want to start with, I seek clarification. You know, there are many things in this economy that are a little upside down, right? Consumers are not happy, but we are spending. Jobs are growing, but gross domestic product is shrinking. Those kinds of things. Here's what I want to know. Is it possible that things are becoming more clear in this economy as this summer wears on and we get a better sense of things?
I think the picture is still very muddy.
Oh, boo.
Unfortunately, I mean, you mentioned some of the confusing mixed signals that we've been getting recently. It does look like some measures that had been pretty strong may be slowing down, and maybe that's more consistent with some of the more negative readings mm-hmm. that we've gotten. You know, there's been a little bit of a slowdown in consumer spending, for example. Some other measures of economic activity have also gotten a little bit worse, the Purchasing Managers Index, things like that. So I guess if there's a more coherent story to be told, it is of a slowing economy.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have these other data points, like strong job growth. That cut in the other direction. So it's hard to make sense of what's going on. And sometimes that's the case when there's a turning point. In fact, and sometimes some of the numbers that might seem inconsistent might get revised later on in further prints to look more consistent with the other data that we have.
All right. So Gina, let's do this without casting any aspersions at all. And I mean that on Catherine Rempel. Let's put her up against Jay Powell. The Fed meets next week. What do we think Jay Powell is looking at this economy and seeing?
I think he's seeing the same things as Catherine Rempel is, actually.
And so he should.
There you go. That's right.
Right? No, I think that he's going to look at this economy and see a situation where we do have some signs that things are slowing down, which, just as a reminder for our listeners, is what the Fed is hoping for.
Right,
you know,
right.
They want things to slow down so that supply can catch up and prices will moderate. And I think they'll see some encouraging signs that that's happening. At the same time, I think they'll see some signs that it's maybe not happening all that quickly. Like Catherine said, job growth is very strong. Wage growth is still very strong. We're going to get a big wage data point next mm-hmm. week. And so I think people will be looking at that. I think the signs are just not totally clear yet, which I think is why the Fed is trying to sort of maintain flexibility, give itself some wiggle room, give itself some ability to maneuver as we get into the fall.
The other thing that comes out next week, Catherine, Friday, I think, is PCE, the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. There are murmurings out there that inflation may have peaked. Do you buy them?
Oh, it is such a foolish thing to make predictions these days.
Sorry to laugh.
Look, there are some reasons to believe that some prices have gone down, right? I mean, gas prices have fallen, for example. Some other commodities are also on declining. And so maybe some of that will show up in the overall numbers. One would hope that's the case. But it feels like anytime any of us makes a prediction, it's usually, brilliant. Well, at least for me, it's usually too optimistic. and it's often where there's a surprise. So I think it's a fool's errand to try to predict, but there are some signs, at least, that some of the individual spending categories have had positive developments in terms of declining prices recently.
Same here on the prediction thing, by the way. Okay, Gina, I'm going to enough about Jay Powell. I'm going to play you tape from another central banker who this week said something that I want to discuss with you. Here you go.
The front loading today of the exit from negative interest rates allows us to make a transition to a meeting by meeting approach to our interest rate decisions.
Christine Lagarde, she runs the European Central Bank. I want you, first of all, Gina Smilek, to please explain front loading in that sense of the word, and then let's talk about why it matters.
So front loading is our new central banking buzzword. I think it is the one they are all using. Basically, all the central banks, a lot of the big global central banks, have really sped up their interest rate increases. So they had been sort of forecasting that they were going to do the slow, steady pace of interest rate increases that we've all become very accustomed to over the last decade. And instead, they've really sort of accelerated the path. You know, they've gone by 50 basis mm-hmm. points or 75 basis points, you know, much faster than they had been predicting. And so the idea there is just to slow things down a little bit faster. And so that's what front loading means in this context.
Okay, so now do a compare and contrast with what we're going to hear from Powell on I guess it's what, Thursday, right? Wednesday? Thursday?
Yeah, so I think the important contrast here is the Fed is a little bit further ahead in this process. So the Fed started speeding up at its May meeting. It sped up a lot in June, and then it's going to continue that quick pace, we think, in this July meeting. And so the question for the Fed is now not so much, you know, how much front loading do you have to do, but when are you going to slow down? Because you're already well within this process. And so I think that when I talk to economists today, asking them what they're expecting next week, the big question in their minds is, you know, what happens next? When do we get the slowdown from mm-hmm. front loading? And so I think that's where we are here in the U.S.
And Catherine, that's what you were talking about earlier, right? This is what is supposed to happen. And this is all in service of the Fed trying to engineer that soft landing.
Right. The goal is to slow down, not to crash. And it's tricky, right? Raising interest rates is designed to cool demand. But it's not this so finely tuned of an instrument that they can really, especially since it works with a lag, that they can decide, okay, we're going to cool demand, but we're not going to like completely, to mix metaphors, you know, like push it off a cliff or whatever. Put it in a deep freeze. I guess that's
very
more
good.
Consistent.
Very good.
There you
yes.
go.
Yes.
And so they want to see the economy slowing, but slowing at sort of a controlled pace. They don't want to see, obviously, a recession. And that's the risk here. Historically, when the Fed has raised rates to get inflation under control, they have pushed us into recession. They don't want that to happen now, but it's difficult to thread the needle mix even more.
Wow, there's a lot going on.
It's a Friday.
It's all good. It's a Friday and it's swelteringly hot in New York. Catherine Pell at the Washington Post, Gina Smilek at the New York Times. Thanks, you two.
Thanks, Guy.
That's all for today's Flash Briefing. For more news, visit marketplace.org.